This week on Greener Us, eco-snobs, climate activists, and the polarization of environmentalism. I'll explain how some single-minded eco-warriors are being counterproductive in regards to bringing about lasting change and encouraging more earth-conscious ways of living. Hello and welcome to Greener Us. This is Chris Syracuse. And as you'll probably notice, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold here. That's why my voice is a little bit raspy, a little bit congested, so bear with me. You'll also notice that I don't have a guest this week. So in order to get you guys content every week, I'm sometimes going to have to do the show on my own. So we'll see how it goes. You know, with the exception of Vias Radio, this is going to be the first time I'm doing a Green Rush show solo. So I generally don't like to talk to myself or just talk to the microphone, but the way I'm trying to frame it in my head is that I'm talking directly to you. You just can't talk back. But if you want to talk back, send me a voicemail. Voice message. There's a link in the Spotify description there. Or like I've told you before, if you're a friend of mine, you know me, shoot me a WhatsApp message or we'll talk in person. So let's go ahead and jump into the show. And yeah, thank you for bearing with me through this process of discovery and this process of learning how to just talk into the microphone with no one talking back. So no doubt the content of today's show, this week's show, will probably get a lot of pushback from people, because what I'm going to address, I think a lot of people that consider themselves earth-conscious people or people that believe in sustainable living or environmentalist or climate activist or any number of different ways to describe people that just generally care or think that they care about nature and about what the gifts that Mother Earth provides us, some of those people are reluctant to first address their own hypocrisy, but also address the fact that they are being counterproductive. Not all of them, but there tends to be a lot of self-righteousness in the environmental movement. I mean, there are different ways to describe it. I'll just say environmental movement, sustainable living movement. More and more, I'm starting to describe it as the earth-conscious living, earth-conscious ways of living. No doubt I'm going to piss some people off. And that's okay, because I'm kind of done preaching to the choir. I've been done with that for a long time. To give you a little bit of background, if you don't know me, I started my career, my film and television career, over 10 years ago, and working specifically on ocean conservation initiatives and a lot of the same kind of stuff. And I've seen the same kind of thing for several years now, which is people address the problems. You know, they kind of get down on people that aren't on board with what the problems are and how to fix them, and they kind of create this elevated sense of themselves and the people they surround themselves with as being morally superior to the people they believe that are not aware enough or woke enough, to use a common term. And I have a term that describes these people. I call them eco snobs. And I remember the first time that I don't know if I coined this term or not. I haven't looked it up, but I've never heard anybody else use it. So for the sake of this conversation, I coined it. Sure, why not? I was at Whole Foods in Monterey, California. This was probably 2007, and I started to notice, you know, these patterns, which I'm sure anybody that's lived in California or anybody that's lived in any other liberal pocket, like affluent liberal pocket of America or of the world, has noticed, which is a Prius-driving, Birkenstock-wearing, Patagonia-sporting, Whole Foods shopping type of person, right? And not always, but often these are the kind of people that I'm talking about. These are the kind of people that have this this elevated sense of themselves and of their ilk, you know, the people they surround themselves with, both professionally and personally. And that alone, that description I just laid out, that's not enough to label someone as an eco snob. I think what it really takes to be a true eco snob is someone that has taken their lifestyle and kind of created that as the standard. And anybody that doesn't live up to that is somehow morally or spiritually inferior. And oftentimes what goes along with this is a lack of awareness that not everybody has the means, you know, the money to live in that way, to shop at Whole Foods, to have a bunch of Patagonia gear, to drive a Prius. They don't have the luxury to live in that way and to sit back and lecture everybody else and look down on everybody else about how they live. So that, in a nutshell, is an eco snob. They take different forms. They oftentimes can be very outspoken vegans. Sometimes they can be more on the activist side as far as climate activism. Another word you could use to describe them is yippies, you know, a combination of a yuppie and a hippie. And there also tends to be this spiritual egoism attached to it. And I'm seeing a lot of that here in Bali right now. A lot of people that are just so far up their own ass when it comes to their spiritual path. And oftentimes, you know, they wrap up this environmental awareness into that, and again, makes them believe they're some kind of superior human, which is absolutely ridiculous, because a lot of these people don't even see the hypocrisy, either the hypocrisy or just the downright flaw or flaws in their way of thinking. Let's take vegans, for instance. And this is going to be controversial, but I want to do a whole episode, not this week, but at some point I'm going to do a whole episode on why veganism is not necessarily the most earth-friendly diet. So I want to make it clear before I dig into veganism that I am not saying that a primarily plant-based diet or an entirely plant-based diet is not, generally speaking, a good thing. I think that it is a good thing. I generally eat mostly plant-based. I am not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian even. I do eat meat. I do eat dairy from time to time. But this idea, let's stick specifically with veganism as it relates to the environment. So I've had several people, several vegans, both in person and over Instagram, both people that have like kind of knew me or just met me, and then people that have not known me at all, that have either reached out to me or I've been in conversation with them, and they are vegans. And essentially what some of them have said to me is that if I am not vegan, and if I'm not talking about veganism on the show, that all the work that I've done going back, you know, over 10 years doing different types of conservation work and environmental awareness work is completely meaningless, because in their mind, the end all and be all of environmental living is veganism, or at least it's a core pillar. And I mean, I have to kind of laugh at that, because I very rarely hear vegans talking about where their food is coming from. You know, they seem, a lot of them, and again, not all of them, but a lot of vegans seem to believe that as long as it's plant-based, it is by default good for the environment. Now that is absolutely absurd. And the examples I like to give when talking about veganism and this assertion are the examples I like to give are palm oil and almonds. I mean, you could come up with lots of different ones, but if you look at palm oil, so palm oil is technically vegan, right? But as if you're semi-aware of what's going on with palm oil and how much how many square miles, you know, thousands of square miles probably. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it is a huge area of different different areas throughout the world, specifically in tropical areas that have been wiped out, jungle ecosystems that have been wiped out to make way for palm oil farming. Now, if you think about that from the vegan perspective, so what you're saying is that you're vegan for the environment, yet something like palm oil, that is technically vegan. I mean, not technically, that's vegan. There are no animal products. But the amount of environmental destruction that has been encouraged by consuming that product is massive. My point is very simple, that just because it is plant-based does not mean that it is good for the environment. Another example would be almonds. If you're in Bali right now and you are drinking almond milk because you think, oh, well, you know, cow's milk is always bad, plant-based is always good, especially when it comes to the environment. You're drinking almond milk. Almonds are not grown here. More than likely, your almond milk is coming from almonds that are grown in California, which is some 8,000 miles away. Almonds in California are grown in an area, the Central Valley of California, that deals with serious water issues. Almonds require a lot of water to grow. The same way that the palm oil is grown, these big monoculture farming operations, meaning that there's no real permaculture elements or regenerative agriculture elements being built into these systems. A monoculture is just one crop. So a farmer comes in, clears a bunch of land, and grows one crop. That is how almonds, most of them, are grown, to my knowledge, in California at least. So you're a vegan in Bali. You're drinking almond milk because you think, oh, this, I'm eating well for the planet. Well, just consider the fact that your product is being shipped in from 8,000 miles away. It's being grown in an area and is mostly monoculture farms, which are inherently not a good thing for the ecosystem in that area. I mean, not only are they not a good thing, they completely wipe out the ecosystem in that area. And yeah, so I can't take that argument that veganism is always a good thing. My response to that is that, and the reason I eat the way that I do, it's like, okay, it's great that you eat plant-based. Along with that, I think it's as important to say, where is my food coming from? Because you contrast that with someone who drinks milk from that comes from a small farm, you know, a family farm, a farm that's rooted in traditional ways of farming and ranching. The milk comes from a very well cared for animal. It is part of this regenerative system that has been built or that has been utilized in this farming environment. That to me, and it's a small scale operation. It's an artisan product. Again, where the animal is well cared for, it's well taken care of. It's not treated with all different types of antibiotics and hormones. And it's local. It's right there, wherever this farm exists. I mean, there are lots of these farms in the Northeast and in parts of California. But the argument is very simple, that the product that is coming from that operation, I would say, is way more eco-friendly than when you're buying almond milk and you live in Bali and your almonds are coming from 8,000 miles away in California. So anyway, that's a very long-winded way of explaining why veganism is not always the best way to eat for the environment. Now, that is one type of eco-snob, or one expression of this eco-snobbery. Let's talk a little bit about other types of eco-snobs, or other ways that the eco-snobbery manifests itself. Another way is with this climate activism. Now, this is a difficult one, and one that probably requires a whole other show just to focus on climate activism. But essentially, the problem with climate activism is that you are saying, climate activists is saying, that the climate is changing. It is almost exclusively because of humans, and humans are the only way to stop it, and we must stop it. And if we don't stop it, and if you disagree with that their assertion, that you're evil, and that you were I mean, any number of things that they would use to describe people that don't, that either don't believe in climate change or don't believe that humans cause climate change or don't believe that humans have the ability to reverse it. Now, all of those are, in my mind, I think those are kind of moot points, because the reality is the climate has always changed. The climate is currently changing, and the climate will continue to change in the future. And do I believe personally that climate change has been exacerbated by the input of greenhouse gases from humans? Yes, I do believe that personally. I do believe that humans have made this worse. But the reality is we are not going to get to zero carbon emissions. It's just not going to happen. Barring some catastrophic event that wipes out all of humanity or the majority of humanity, it's not going to happen. We're not going to get to net zero. That's a commonly used phrase. It's not going to happen. So this whole idea that climate activists have that we need to limit greenhouse gas emissions in order to mitigate climate change. Okay, I do believe that we need to stop putting carbon in the atmosphere. The problem is this argument has become so political and so polarizing that the minute that that comes up, the minute that you talk about climate change, you are talking about a very politically divisive issue. And in my mind, we should not be talking about that. We should be talking about, again, and this is, if you listen to the show or if you know me, you know that this is something I talk about all the time, which is clean air, clean water, clean food. I don't mean that just for humans. I mean that as it applying to the entire ecosystem, whatever it is, whatever ecosystem or biosphere you live in, that for every living organism, not that humans come in and just get what we need, but no, we create those conditions in our ecosystem for every living organism that is inhabiting that ecosystem with us. So this idea that we need to stop putting greenhouse gases into the atmosphere because it's exacerbating climate change. That is, again, if you know anybody that's been around the past 10, 15 years knows how politically charged that is. So in order to not get into that argument with people, what I'm advocating for is saying, okay, that you want clean air, right? You want your kids to breathe in nice clean air because you want your kids to be healthy. You want them to grow up to be well-rounded, healthy, you know, fully developed humans. Then let's talk about that. Let's not talk about whether or not climate change is caused by humans and whether or not humans can do anything about reversing it. That's not the question. The question is that we are essentially poisoning ourselves. It's a low grade form of poison when we burn fossil fuels. We don't want to breathe that in. We don't. Like I don't think anybody wants to breathe that in. I don't know. Maybe you're one of the rare people that enjoys that. I don't. I think most people's bodies and lungs don't enjoy breathing that in. So why don't we focus on that? Why don't we focus on the fact that we are essentially poisoning ourselves, and we shouldn't do that anymore. I mean, it seems pretty simple. Clean air, clean water, clean food. Anyway, so that's my take on the climate activism. I think it's incredibly counterproductive, because a lot of climate activists, they seem to be trying to win an argument rather than actually encouraging more people, specifically more people on the other side of the political divide, to live in ways that are more earth conscious. So yeah, there's just this inherent political conflict built into that current paradigm. And I believe that we should not be preaching to the choir. What we should be doing, and what I really want to do with this show, is reach out to people that maybe don't think about these things, or maybe they don't know that they care about these things. But if you look, let's take an example here. If you look at rural America, right, there is this, and we're gonna take a little detour here, but I think it's important to the larger conversation. If you look at rural America and you look at urban America, that is, if you talk to to most people who study these subjects, you know, whether they're sociologists or political theorists, they will tell you that that is the main divide right now. It's not even about money. It's not about race. It is about rural America versus urban America. When you go to places like Los Angeles, you go to places like San Francisco or Portland or New York City, or even play like Austin, you go to these liberal enclaves, these leftist enclaves, you will find a lot of what I was talking about earlier with the eco snobs. You will find a lot of people that believe that people in rural America are morally inferior, are less intelligent, and need to be controlled, and need to be basically beaten into submission and told what to do because they don't understand the real problems. They don't understand what we sophisticated urban folk understand, and it's our job and our obligation to show them the way. And if they don't get on board, we'll make them get on board, kind of thing. And it's really scary. I noticed a lot of it. You know, I spent a lot of time. My mom lived just outside of San Francisco for many years, and I lived on the Central Coast, not too far from San Francisco. Spent a lot of time there, and lived in LA for about 4.5 years until moving to Bali. And you see this, and you exist in that bubble, in that kind of environment, and it's scary because you realize that a lot of these people have no fucking clue. A lot of these people that are vegans or say they believe in earth conscious living or in sustainable living, whatever environmentalism, whatever word or phrase you want to use to describe it, a lot of these people have no fucking clue, and they're so quick to basically look down or denigrate people in rural America, people that are generally conservative minded. The majority of them voted for Donald Trump, and it's just automatic. When you're in Los Angeles, talk about Los Angeles specifically, it's automatically assumed that you, if you were college educated, you live in LA, you know, you're woke, so to speak, that people in rural America are beneath you, and that they're stupid, they're ignorant. And it's crazy to me for a lot of different reasons. That I think the main reason that comes to mind, and something that I'm coming back to, and something I want to really try to connect people with, is this idea that people in rural America are actually more connected, and I think more likely to really understand what it means to live in a earth conscious way, so to speak, than a lot of people that are living in urban America. I mean, if you look at the traditions of rural America, I mean, these are places where the food is grown, where people actually have a connection to this land or their land, wherever they are, places, you know, in rural California, rural Oregon, places in the Midwest, places, you know, rural places in the Northeast, you know, the Hudson Valley, north of New York City. These people have connections with the land that goes back, in some cases, generations. So this idea that they don't understand, or they're disconnected, that's just not true. Now, they may not look at it in the same way that the liberal urban elite do with their Priuses and they're shopping at Whole Foods. But my point is simple, that those are the people that I want to connect with. Those are the people that I want to find some common ground with, and to really explore what it means to really live in an earth conscious way, not this eco snobbery bullshit. I'm so over it. I'm done with it. Yeah, I'm done with the polarization. I'm done with the inherent political bullshit that comes along with talking about earth conscious living and environmentalism. I want to talk to the people that are growing the food. I wanted to talk to the salt of the earth, the real people that actually have some skin in the game. You know, a lot of these people in Los Angeles and San Francisco, they don't have a fucking clue. You know, they can read some New York Times article or some Washington Post article about this stuff, and they can have some, you know, conceptual understanding of it, but they don't actually know what goes in to producing food, for instance. And that's so obvious when you actually start to dig into these conversations with people that don't really understand what it actually means to live in a way that's sustainable. So that's my little rant. How are you feeling about this solo thing? It's a little bit challenging, I'll have to say. It's interesting. I don't know. We're about 27 minutes. I was hoping to get 30-minute show out of this. So I think we're about there. One other thing I will leave you with, or a couple other things, I think, that in coming back to the discussion about rural Americans and kind of the urban Americans, that oftentimes in on the American left, there's this kind of we ridicule people. I say we, I would not consider myself part of the American left, not anymore at least. It's just that's a whole other thing. But oftentimes people on the American left, they will ridicule people who believe in God, you know, Christians or Catholics or people that, you know, more traditional religious people. And I don't know, the more and more I think, and I don't get me wrong, when I was in my 20s, I felt the same way. You know, I talked to people that were Christian, and it was just, they kind of freaked me out. I thought religion was overall not such a positive thing for the world. But the more that I talk to people, the older that I get, the more I start to understand that God, nature, it's the same thing. I find it so interesting because I do listen to some more conservative podcasts sometimes. And when I hear people that are religious, you know, specifically Christian or Catholic, when they talk about God, it's oftentimes the same way that people that are more liberal minded talk about nature. So what I'm trying to do with this show, and what I'm encouraging with other people, is to say, hey, you believe in God. He or she, the person on the other side, they believe in the forces of nature, in the universe, whatever it is. You're talking about the same thing. You know, if you want to live in a way that is in accordance with God's will, I would say, and this is just me, I don't know, probably get some pushback from my more religious friends, I would say that what you're actually wanting to do is live in a way that's in accordance with some of the things that I'm talking about, as far as earth conscious living and respecting the planet and living in ways that are more sustainable. That would be my take on it. I don't know if that's true, but that's how it feels from my perspective. And another thing, the last thing, and I'll let you guys go, we're about 30 minutes here. I do believe that lasting change when it comes to all these issues that we discuss, it is not going to come from government policy. And this is another issue that I have with the whole climate change activism, that what we're talking about, this does require religious, spiritual, and cultural support. You know, these are things that we all need to really care about and really believe in and really, really embody and live. That does not come from government policy. Government policy can help to incentivize and not incentivize certain things, but this tendency on the left to look at the government to basically solve all these problems and to force people, that it's just not, in my mind, that's not how real change comes about. So I'll leave it there. Thank you for listening. So just a reminder that this show lives in the same feed as our companion series What's What and our weekly music show Bias Radio. By combining these three shows into one feed, we offer an audio experience that is unique in the podcast world, so you can stay right here for stories and information about earth-conscious living, conversations about philosophy and literature, curated music playlists, and more. If you like what you hear, please follow us on Spotify, share the show with your family and friends, and don't forget to give us a 5-star review. If you're interested in visual and written content, check us out on Instagram at Greener House Media, and on Twitter at TheGreenerUs. And I will see you next week.